Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Jason Lipschutz, and I'm an associate editor and the Pop Shop blog editor of Billboard.com. Based in New York, on the other line in Los Angeles, is the Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson to my Colin Farrell and Vince Vaughn. Keith Caulfield, how's it going, Keith?
All right.
Yeah, all right, there we go, yeah. Are you a True Detective fan? I'm not a True Detective fan.
I'm not. I've just heard that no one is really thrilled with how the season's going or the season finished. Was it done? Is it done now? No?
Yeah, it finished. We're recording this on Monday the 10th. It finished last night. Seems like it was very convoluted. Seems like it was a lot of, like, people angrily staring at each other or something. If that's not the plot to True Detective, it's just people angrily staring at each other, then I don't know. That's what I'm basing my opinion on, based on the trailer.
We're both talking about a show that neither one of us watch. Is that what's happening right now?
Yeah. You know, nice. What I have been watching, which is pretty terrible but entertaining, is Ballers, starring The Rock.
Oh man.
It's got that Entourage vibe of dumb bros hanging out. I'm like,
hard to deny the dumb bro vibe TV show.
It really is hard. I know you're being sarcastic, but
it's really easy.
I agree with that.
It's like super easy. So easy.
Keith, welcome as always to another Pop Shop Podcast episode. We are going to be talking about a whole lot in the pop world. We have a new number one single on the Hot 100 this week. We have the debut of One Direction near the top of the Hot 100. We have Drake, we have a couple cool soon-to-be hits, and we're going to be talking about the Billboard 200 albums chart, where it's Luke Bryan and Dr. Dre battling it out next week.
We also yeehaw!
Yeehaw, indeed. We also have a fun interview. I had a really great time checking in with Iconopop, who were in town last week supporting One Direction on their stadium tour. The girls of Iconopop, of course, of I Love It fame. Their new single, Emergency, is great. We talked about the One Direction tour and working on the music, and it was an awesome, awesome chat. Keith, before we get started, as always, if you love the Pop Shop Podcast as much as we do, maybe even more than we do, if possible, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you never, ever miss an episode. Give us a rating or review on iTunes. We love to hear your feedback. It also makes our stats higher and our hearts sing. If you have any questions for us, hit us up on Twitter. He is at Keith_Caulfield. I am at Jason Lipschutz. And if you want to discover more from the Billboard podcast realm, go to iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. That's plural. Keith, are you ready to rock and roll?
Si, senor.
All right, man. Let's start at the top of the Hot 100 because Omi, Cheerleader, is no longer number one. We got a new number one. And it is. I'll let you reveal, man. I'll let you reveal it.
I can't feel my face when I'm with you. But I love it.
I can't feel my face when I'm with you. It's a fun song to sing. The Weeknd, of course, we are singing, if you couldn't tell.
We're putting singing in quotes, air quotes. We're singing. Can't feel my face.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So it hits number one, and we've been talking about this battle for number one for a couple weeks because The Weeknd, Can't Feel My Face, was number two for a few frames there. Omi was blocking it, and then finally they flip-flop Omi, Cheerleader, down to number two. What made up the difference this week, Keith?
Actually, everything. Because as chart geeks know, or chart watchers know, the Billboard Hot 100 ranks the most popular 100 songs in the country each week based upon a blend of airplay, sales, and streaming information. And The Weeknd actually beats Omi in all three metrics this week. So it wasn't just one thing that pushed him over the top. It was all three, just a little bit in all three metrics, and that was enough to put him over Omi. Omi wasn't really down that much, and Omi actually still gained in airplay this week, believe it or not. But it was a great week for The Weeknd, and now he's number one. I also have to say that this is a great thing because I kind of feared that this was going to be one of those things where, like, you have an awesome track that, like, stalls out at number two.
Yeah.
Like Ed Sheeran's, was it Thinking Out Loud, was like number two for like a million years. Or like, I think Work It from Missy Elliott was number two for a long time. And
yeah,
there's just like this series of like, ah, oh, come
Psy.
On.
Psy's the big one. I remember Gangnam Style.
Ugh, yes. Which really, I mean, for speaking purely as someone, I mean, we have no way. I mean, I don't make the chart do what it does. The chart just does what it does. And I can speak from sort of an exasperated like pop fan where I look through the chart history of songs that peaked at certain positions. And I'm like, oh, man, like, I really wish, you know, Foreigner's Waiting for a Girl Like You would have been number one for 1 week instead of 10 weeks stuck at number two. Stuff
That's
like
true,
that.
Man.
So anyway, I'm happy that it's number one because it's an awesome song. And yeah, go Weeknd.
Go Weeknd, indeed. Speaking of The Weeknd, he is headlining our inaugural Hot 100 Fest later this month. Can't wait for that. Keith, do you see this staying at number one for a while? Is there any kind of indication that it's going to be a long run, or do you think it's going to be there for a few weeks, or what do you think if you were to make some sort of prediction?
I think because the trick with staying at number one for a long time on the Hot 100 is that you have a lot of growth at radio and sustained momentum at radio, and I think this is one of those songs where it's like an uptown funk sort of song where it's not. Its appeal is not limited to one particular demographic or one particular format of radio or one kind of audience. It's one of those songs that can work well at top 40 radio, adult top 40 radio, like rhythmic, urban, rap. Like, it's kind of all over the place. And it has that sort of classic Michael Jackson-esque sound that just sounds great to a lot of different people, and I think this is really going to be one of those songs that kind of hangs on for a good long time.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, man. And it's interesting because we've seen this happen this year. It's been a year of songs just getting to number one and staying there for a very long time. You saw it with Uptown Funk, like you said. You saw it with See You Again, and you might see it with Can't Feel My Face. I know the exceptions are Bad Blood, which was number one for 1 week.
Right.
And now Omi, which you know, four weeks, I guess?
Yes, it was 4 weeks
three
at number
or four.
One for Cheerleader.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I agree with you, though, that I think there's so much momentum behind this song. It's funny because I've discussed this song with, like, a bunch of different people, like, from that are fans of a bunch of different genres of music. Like, I discussed it with one of my friends who's like strictly a pop fan, another who's a big R&B guy, and another even like a big rock fan, and they were all like, yeah, this song's really catchy. Yeah, I mean, you can't really find anyone who just flat out hates this track because it's just so darn infectious, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, it's another number one hit for Max Martin. By
hey-o.
The way, the producer Max Martin, he's one of a couple producers. Well, actually, it's just two producers on the track. It's Max Martin and someone else. that's my super.
I love the work of someone else.
Someone else, really a really great
producer,
a really great other person, which I'll tell you in a second. But that Max Martin train cannot be stopped.
No, just that Max Martin rain just will not let up. So, Keith, I know we've been getting a ton of questions about where is One Direction's new single "Drag Me Down" going to debut. Where is it going to debut? We ran a story last week that I think you wrote about the fact that it was going to debut probably in the top five. does debut in the top five at number three, correct?
Yeah, it's a huge debut at number three. I know some folks named Jason were asking me last week, oh, is he going to debut at number one? Like, you know, it's really hard to debut at number one these days. So just getting this high is pretty amazing. And what's pretty spectacular is that the song has One Direction's best sales week ever. It starts with 349,000, I believe, is the number downloads this week. Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
No, I'm going to get the number for you. I'm not going to just gonna, like, dodge.
Well, while you look that up, yeah.
No, 350,000 downloads. 350,000 downloads.
That's a lot of downloads, man. It's crazy how... You know, we talked about this last week on the show, how... If you look at the lead singles from One Direction's albums, Live While We're Young, top five debut. Best Song Ever from Midnight Memories, top five debut. And then last year with Steal My Girl, it was a little bit more muted. It was a top 20 debut, but definitely didn't have that kind of juice that we're now seeing from Drag Me Down. And I think, you know, I want to see what you think about this. I assume it's going to likely dip next week on the chart just because... You can't sustain that kind of download number.
No, you can't. And I think, you know, they could have actually had a shot at number one had they put out a music video in the same week. You know, some sort of, you know, video on YouTube would have helped, like a proper music video. If they had like kind of done it all one time, like the video, the song, airplay, boom, boom, boom. Because they weren't really, they're not incredibly far away from number one. They could have actually made up the difference probably with the video. But, you know, hindsight's 2020.
They should have pulled the Shake It Off, some would say.
They should have, the whole thing should have come out at the same time. But that said, yes, I do think it'll take a dip next week, as most blockbuster debuts do. That's just sort of a natural thing, and that's probably what's going to happen. So, yeah, but I think it's interesting how they generate their best sales week yet 5 years into their career, a little over 5 years into their career since they first all debuted or, you know, auditioned for the X Factor, you know, 5 years ago. And also coming after, you know, kind of a time when most boy bands are kind of winding down.
Yeah.
And I kind of am comparing this to a degree. You didn't ask me any of this, and it's
I'm just
volunteering. To me, it kind of vaguely reminds me of when the Spice Girls lost Jerry Halliwell, and there was a lot of interest in their next single after Jerry left, and the single was called Goodbye. And the song was actually a pretty significant hit. It did really well for them. And I think it peaked at number 11 on the Hot 100, which back then was a pretty big deal. I think it was stuck at number 11 for like 3 weeks or something on the chart, which is really tragic because it really should have been top 10.
Tragic.
It's just one of those things where it's, you know, when we talked about number two peaking hits earlier, when you have a song stop at number 11, it was number 11 for 3 weeks. It's been its first 3 weeks at number 11. That is so annoying.
That's so true.
And for Goodbye, actually, it sold 74,000 copies in its first week, which back in 1998 was actually a pretty big number.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's kind of the same thing where there's a lot of interest in what are they going to sound like without this member and how will they be able to go on. And there's going to be this groundswell of interest, which probably isn't going to naturally sustain itself going forward. So we'll see how things shake out in the next few weeks. It'll be really interesting.
Speaking of the Spice Girls, man, it's funny because I was on TV last week talking about the Spice Girls like rumored reunion, and I was talking about the fact that, you know, I was asked like if Victoria Beckham was not going to reunite with the Spice Girls for a potential 20th anniversary reunion. I mean, you know, it's not all five. Would people actually care? And I'm like, and I said, hey, look at what One Direction's doing as a quartet now, still selling out stadium shows. And I think that, you know, it's all about the presentation of the music. And people love this song, man. I saw One Direction last week at MetLife Stadium in North Jersey, and you know, obviously it's only a few days old, so it's going to get a huge reaction. But I think it was definitely one of the most well received songs of the night, even bigger than, you know, What Makes You Beautiful or Best Song Ever or their biggest hits. People are really excited about this song.
Well, it's a great song. I mean,
it is.
Also, Spice Girls. Did you see the Spice Girls reunion show?
No, I did not.
We talked about it before. Oh, yeah, it was great. It was so awesome.
I would have enjoyed that.
It was a lot of fun. I'm not sure if it's going to have... It wouldn't have quite the same magic without Victoria Beckham. Because, you know, girl power, you need all five girls. Cause that's the whole point. Girl power together. Even if she, like, taped, like, a video, like, interlude,
I'm sure
it wouldn't be the same.
Come on. I'm sure she would do that. She would be the interludes as they're getting changed and whatnot.
Exactly. Hello, everyone.
I'm here to entertain.
I don't know. That's clearly not her accent, but...
I'm in a studio
right now. I'm designing clothes for the girls right now backstage.
Anyway, back on the Hot 100 with Keith... Drake's back-to-back starts at number 21 on the Hot 100 chart. We talked about the Drake Meek Mill beef and its sales impact on both of their careers. This seems to be the song that stood out the most from this whole squabble. Yeah, point to Drake, and a lot of people are already giving him that point. But just in terms of, you know, this is a Hot 100, it's a top 40 hit, it's almost a top 20 hit. So we'll see about that sustained momentum.
Where did I want to know, is Charged Up part of the brouhaha as well?
Yes. So basically what happened was that Charged Up was Drake's first diss track aimed at Meek Mill. And everyone was a little bit lukewarm on it. It was like, hey, he got some good...
Debuts at 78 on the Hot 100 this week.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. So everyone was a little bit lukewarm on that one. It was like, he got some good punches in there, but it wasn't like a knockout. And then he dropped back to back, and it was like, oh, man, that was... He leveled Meek Mill on that one.
And that debuts at 21, yeah.
Yeah.
So what's this other... since I'm so familiar with Drake... What's Hotline Bling?
That is not a Meek Mill diss track. That's just a new track.
That's just like a rant. That's his new single.
From his album. It's not like an official single. It's just one of those Drake tracks that come out. I might be wrong on this. I think it might have come out on his OVO Sound radio show that he's been doing every week.
Oh, okay.
Which also was where he debuted. I know Charged Up. I'm not sure about Back to Back. Anyway.
It's because he has like four different debuts this week on the Hot 100. Those are three of them. Then he has a fourth debut with The Game featuring Drake. 100 debuts at number 90. So
it's a whole lot of Drake going on this week. All the time.
Yeah.
Keith, anyway, speaking of the lower reaches of the Hot 100, let's talk about a couple songs that are not in the top 40. Maybe not even on the chart at all, but we want to talk about them because they might be hits soon enough. That's why we call this segment... Soon to be hits. All right, man, we got two good ones on soon to be hits this week. I went first last week. I'll let you go first this week.
Oh, okay. So mine is actually from an artist, and it was one of those artists where I'm like, have we actually talked about this particular song previously? So if we have, and we just have a really bad memory, don't blame us. Maybe it's just because we really like the song a lot.
I don't think this song just came out, so I don't think we've talked about this
one. Okay, well, I don't know. It's Carly Rae Jepsen's Run Away With Me. It's super catchy.
So good.
It's a great single, Run Away With Me. It's from her album Emotion, which comes out in 2 weeks, I believe. August 21st, I want to say, is when the album comes out. It's just one of those songs that has like this kind of... how to describe it? Like atmospheric adult, pop.
It's very, I don't even know. It's just very euphoric. It's very like heart swelling pop.
Yeah,
music.
It has this kind of like, I really like songs that have like sort of like a whoosh moment where you kind of feel like you're being sort of carried away by something. And it just has this kind of really sort of, uplifting vibe to it. At the same time, sounding really kind of like elegant and smart and cool.
It's great.
It's a really great song. And, her last single, I Really Like You, didn't, as we say, set the world on fire. It did okay. It'll be interesting to see what happens with this one. It's bubbling under the threshold of our mainstream top 40 chart, which is known as Pop Songs on Billboard.com. So it could debut here in the next few weeks. I think it's really cool, and you should definitely check it out.
Keith, did you see what I wrote last week about the underrated pop artists? And I was trying to I did this whole nerdy thing about trying to determine who was the most, if Carly Rae Jepsen specifically was the most underrated pop artist at the moment. Did you see that? Maybe not.
No, I did not. Would you like to tell us about it and how Carly Rae is what, the most underrated pop artist of all time?
No, I was talking about at the moment. I did this huge scientific breakdown of Carly Rae Jepsen and nine other pop artists who I find to be underrated. Obviously, it was a subjective thing. It wasn't like there's any kind of like underrated meter. But I did it based on, it was four categories. It was like lack of critical acclaim, lack of commercial success, longevity of being underrated, and amount of mind-blowing music released.
So let me guess. Like, who's Sky Ferreira? Was she in there?
Sky Ferreira actually came out on top. Spoiler alert.
Oh.
She was my she was number one.
Mm.
And then Robin was number two. And then I think Carly Rae and Marina and the Diamonds share the bronze.
You know what you should do? You should, for all you booking agents that are out there, you should get like sort of the cool all these folks should get together on a multi-artist bill and put one together.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Anyway,
next year Hot 100 Fest. Yeah.
Yeah. We got a couple underrated ones in there. I think
Betty
so.
Who?
Betty Who was in there. Yeah. Anyway. What's
your soon to be hit?
My soon to be hit, my friend, is Love Myself from Hailee Steinfeld. I love this song. This is Hailee Steinfeld's debut single as a solo artist. She put out an acoustic version of Shawn Mendes' song Stitches. Hailee Steinfeld, if you're not familiar, is actually an Oscar-nominated actress.
Yeah.
From True Grit from a couple years ago. She was also in Pitch Perfect 2 and a couple other film roles.
She was also in the Bad Blood video, right?
She was indeed in
the
Bad Blood video.
She's not just a friend of Taylor Swift. She has she has other certifiable talents.
So she's making a go at it of it on Republic Records, and Love Myself is her first official single. It just came out this past Friday, August 7th, so it is not charted yet. I expect that this song is going to debut on the Hot 100 next week. We'll talk about it then. But this song is just a blast. It's a great debut single. It's definitely about self love, and I'll leave it at that. But in like the air quotes self love.
Oh, it's not like empowerment. Yeah, come on, ladies, we can do it together. It's like, yeah, come on, ladies, we can do it together. Ayo. Oh boy, so inappropriate.
It's true. No, it's a self empowerment anthem in a certain way
in this summer of songs
mode.
Like Cool for the Summer by Demi Lovato and
yeah, it's definitely in there. So Hailee Steinfeld it's super catchy. It's definitely meant to be heard in like an arena setting. I'm hoping that she shows up at something like a Jingle Ball or something this year, because I'd love to hear this in a big setting. So Hailee Steinfeld, Love Myself, and Carly Rae Jepsen, Runaway With Me. Those are the two soon-to-be hits.
You almost feel like Haley's going to show up at like a Taylor Swift concert as like the special guest, and they'll like do the song together.
Yeah, I think that is a great call in the next like week or two.
Yeah.
Did you see that she brought out Fetty Wap in Seattle?
Man, she's bringing out some like sort of whoa, never would have thought of that artist on her on her tours lately.
Good for Fetty Wap, man.
I mean, not a bad thing. It was just like, wow, cool.
Fetty Wap is like a pop star now. It's fantastic. I love it. Anyway, Keith, let's quickly talk about the Billboard 200 albums chart, which you wrote about earlier today. So we have a new number one. It's the Descendants soundtrack.
Who knew?
Who knew?
No one. Yeah, no one knew.
So what is this Descendants soundtrack?
Exactly.
I've heard of this. I did not watch the Descendants, but can you explain it a little bit?
Unless you basically have a child that is like watching Disney Channel, you probably don't have the foggiest clue what Descendants is. So, and I was honestly in the dark until relatively recently as well. It was a really slow week for new albums in the past week. So the Descendants, not even The Descendants, that's the George Clooney movie. Descendants, it's a TV movie, a live-action TV movie on Disney Channel, directed and choreographed by Kenny Ortega, who also did all three High School Musical films. And, of course, Michael Jackson's This Is It, and he mm-hmm. choreographed Dirty Dancing. Hey, you know, Kenny Ortega. But it's about four children of classic Disney villains who are in this fairy tale universe and have to, like, you know, go to sort of like a private school together. It's anyway, there's a lot of music in it, and the soundtrack, which features the stars of the TV movie singing, debuts at number one. The interesting thing about this, aside from the fact that, you know, hey, we've never heard of this thing and it debuts at number one, it's the fourth soundtrack to be number one this year on the Billboard 200, following Pitch Perfect 2, 50 Shades of Grey, and the Empire soundtrack. But also, it is the lowest unit total ever at number one on the Billboard 200 in two different ways of measuring. One, since we started measuring the most popular albums of the week by overall consumption units, like overall album equivalent units, that was last December. It has the lowest figure. It did 42,000 overall units. And it actually sold about 29,000 copies in terms of like pure albums, which is the lowest sales figure ever at number one since Nielsen started tracking sales back in 1991. So it was a really spectacular week for album sales. But congratulations to Descendants. Hey.
Yeah, it's insane how few copies actually need to get sold now for a number one mm-hmm. album on you know, on certain weeks, obviously.
Normally what happens is that every week there's at least one album that does well, like, you know, yeah. good, like, oh, you know, even like in sort of like a mediocre week, you'll still have like a Jill Scott album which does like 50,000 or something, you know. So exactly. It's like, oh, it's not great, but at least it's not the bottom of the barrel. This week, kind of the bottom of the barrel. Luckily, things will perk up next week, and this is where you tell me something about next week, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. Obviously, we have like, whoa. Hang on there, Keith.
That was exciting. I think Jason just fell out the window.
It just
good.
Dropped.
You're there. Oh, thank God. I just fell.
Totally
did I just
keep,
fa- I just fell off
we're totally
table.
Keeping that in, by the way.
We
that, that was like the most exciting thing about the chart this week is just that I dropped my phone while talking about it.
Drop anyway. The mic. Boom. Descendants. Yo.
Boom. So, Keith.
Jason. Yes.
Anyway, next week on the Billboard 200 albums chart, we're going to see some big debuts from Luke Bryan. His new album came out last week, as well as Dr. Dre. There's a new Dr. Dre album in this world. It is called Compton. It is a soundtrack to Straight Outta Compton.
It's not really a soundtrack
sort
to Straight Outta Compton.
Sort of soundtrack.
It's sort of soundtrack. But I'm unsure if any of the music from this album is actually in the movie. I could be wrong. But anyway,
I'm actually unsure of that.
It's Dr.
Well.
Dre's Compton.
So.
Well,
anyway,
we'll find out.
We'll find out. Keith, so it looks like Luke Bryan's still going to be number one despite all the hoopla around this Dr. Dre album.
Well, yeah, right now forecasts are that Luke, and this is as of Monday morning, you're hearing this on Tuesday, or perhaps later. Right now, Luke is heading for maybe 340,000 overall units, and Dr. Dre could do maybe like around 300,000. The week is not over yet. The week will not be over with until Thursday. That's the final day of our tracking week, which now runs Friday through Thursday each week. So we shall see. But it seems like Luke has a fairly comfortable lead. Of course, anything can happen.
And one other thing I wanted to point out, Keith, is that someone doing very well on this album's chart, even though it's, you know, not in the top five yet. I think it's number six this week. Is Sam Hunt's album is seems to be performing very well. It's in the top 10. It was released way back in October, so it's a lot like, you know, the Holdovers by Taylor Swift and Ed Sheeran and some of the others that have been hanging around the top 10. But Sam Hunt, obviously a much smaller name. And Keith, have you just seen this album growing and growing each week?
Well, it's not growing and growing each week. What's happening is that he's had an incredibly sustainable. he's like
very steady.
He's like when you go to Whole Foods, you buy sustainable fruits. That doesn't sound right. He's had very steady sales for his album because he's so big on country radio. He's like basically like the big breakout star on country radio this year. But at the same time, he's also crossing over to mainstream top 40 and sort of like outside of the country realm. He's actually crossing over. You know, with songs like Take Your Time, which actually, yeah. You know, was a significant top 40 hit, you know, in terms of non-country audiences. What's really cool is that his album, Montevallo, I could be pronouncing it wrong.
I think that's right.
Montevallo has actually sold more than like 11,000 copies in every single week that it's been out. It has been among the top 30 sellers each week since like January or February. Like, it's just really consistent. And I think he's really someone to sort of watch, not just in terms of country music, but in just music in general this year of like what's going to happen as he moves forward with his career.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, you've probably heard of Sam Hunt, probably heard a Sam Hunt song even in passing. But yeah, just to point out, like he really is holding over very, very well and just steady album sales. We'll see if you can turn that into real like country and crossover stardom. So Keith, we got to get to Iconopop. Iconopop stopped by. I met Iconopop last week at their hotel. They were staying in Midtown Manhattan, and I met them and we met in the restaurant of the hotel, and it was too noisy to record the podcast. So we actually went up to their hotel, one of their hotel rooms, and recorded it, and they didn't have any like chairs, so this interview was recorded on one half of Iconopop's bed. So we had Eddie, our sound guy, and me on the bed, and then Iconopop on the bed, and they were hilarious, and it was such a fun chat. We talked about opening for One Direction, their new single Emergency, which was produced by Ricky Reed, if you know Talk Dirty, and Wiggle by Jason Derulo. It sounds in that vein as well. And what's to come from them? Their debut album, This Is Iconopop, was released back in 2013. Of course, that included their top 10 hit, I Love It, featuring Charlie XCX. They talked about following that up as well. So here is Iconopop on the Pop Shop Podcast. You want me down on earth, but I am up in space. You're so damn hard to Iconopop, face. Thank you guys so much for stopping by the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. And congrats on the new EP release. You guys are playing stadiums. It's like an exciting time for you guys. How are you guys feeling?
Oh my God, yeah. When you said all of that, it was like, oh.
I was like, that sounds so cool. Yeah. Are we doing all of that?
We're actually pretty cool, yeah.
It's a little bit surreal.
Yeah. It's crazy. I called my mom the other day and she's like, how's it going? Mom, it's crazy, but... And I tried to explain to her, like, what's going on, and she doesn't get anything. She's like, well, that's amazing. I want to see that. You know, she really doesn't get that it's 50,000 people, like, every night when we play, and then when One Direction plays, even more. But, like, it's so weird to explain. Like, stadiums are the biggest you can do, basically.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So tell me a little bit about what you guys see and feel on stage. Because, like you said, people are getting excited for One Direction.
Uh-huh.
And holding up the signs.
Yeah, totally.
But what is that like, just to look at that atmosphere and be part of that environment?
I mean, it's amazing. It's, you just feel it even when you roll in and you get to the venue. The excitement, the expectations of the night. Mm. People, they've been waiting. They've been, like, saving money to buy these tickets. And then they've been waiting for so many months. And then they've been buying their T-shirts. They've been making their signs. I mean, it's for real.
And they're, like...
It's beautiful.
And yeah. Everyone's united. And one of the most beautiful things we saw on the tour was, like... before we went on, suddenly they were playing some songs and because they're, a lot of their fans are pretty young, or they travel from a far distance, they're there in time. And you could see like that they started to do the wave with the hands. And the wave was going like all around the whole stadium.
And not it was just once.
No, like
10, 20 times.
And you could, people were singing along. I've never seen like people so united. Do you say that?
Yeah, to, it was like a big, it was like a big party. Yeah. Of people just, you know, singing together even before the show.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yes, I've never seen that before.
Now, have you guys spent, like, been able to spend time with the One Direction guys?
We've been going out one time with one of the members, and then we've been basically just, having so much to do.
Like, yeah.
We've been traveling before and after, so we've been sticking along, like, waving at them from this side of the stage and be like, we're trying to stay here, and then we need to leave, but we've been hanging a little bit.
At the venue, you know, like, going in, saying hi.
They're super nice.
They're like, so, so nice, and we're looking forward to when we're all staying in the same city for more than just because, you know, you go to the next place
directly after.
It's like a puzzle. You try to just coordinate together.
Well, what's striking to me, and I saw the show last night, is that how calm and collected they are, and their energy is high, but they're very much like they're obviously seasoned at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But just that cool energy that they project is like, oh yeah, 50,000 people, we got this. Like we are controlling this correctly. It's unbelievable.
But I think the cool thing is that they're very personal. They talk a lot on stage, directly to their fans.
Yeah.
It's very, you know, they joke with them, they look at the signs, they're like, and I feel what they've done already from the beginning, it's really, they really have a show together with the audience.
Yeah.
And the audience grew up together with them. Yeah. So I think everyone feels this special bond. It's very cool. Kiss on my lips,
ice on my wrist, 'cause I'm hot and I'm dancing. Emergency, the lead track. You guys worked with some really cool guys on this. Eric Hassel, who's one of my favorites, and Ricky Reed,
yes,
aka Wallpaper, who
such a good crew.
Yeah. So how did this song come together with those two guys?
It was pure magic. Basically, we've been writing a lot with Ricky or Wallpaper, and also with a lot of amazing names that, and we were just in the studio hanging out. We invited Eric because he's one of our best friends.
Yeah.
So we invited him to come to the studio, and we basically wrote Emergency in like 2 hours. And it started off with that we were having an idea, and Eric was like, I can go and put it in. Because we were like eating or something. And he's saying, this is an emergency. And we were like, that sounds so freaking good. Yeah. We don't want to take that away. Like, let's keep it. So, and it was like, oh, so am I singing on this song now? We were like, hell yeah. So I feel like
it was, it was pure energy.
Yeah.
And I think that's the cool thing that can really happen. That's why we also like to collaborate with people.
Yeah.
Like, we love writing in the studio, just us, but it's very cool when you come into the studio and the just different energies blends together and creates something, and it's so natural. Like, it felt like we were having a party that we're singing about in the song.
Mm. Yeah.
It was so easy.
Yeah.
It's such a fun song, and what's really striking to me is how different it sounds for you guys. It sounds like it definitely could not have belonged on the first album.
No, definitely not.
This is where we are right now.
Yeah.
It feels like it's exactly where we are today. And what we also, I mean, we always write on the road.
Yeah.
Constantly. But it's hard to finish stuff on the road. Yeah. So that's why it felt very important for us to take the time and say, okay, we're not going to say yes to any shows right now. We're going to spend time and we're going to be in the studio.
Mm.
Because we've been through so much. We have so much to write about. We have so much to say. So it's been so fun to go into the studio and just, this is where we are right now. What I mean, I like it better.
I totally understand why you don't want to make I Love It Part 2 over and over and over. But in terms of just the attitude of the new stuff, and you guys are working on more songs and getting more music to share, like, what I loved about I Love It was, what I loved about I Love It, was it was just so pissed off. It was so fiery.
Oh, yeah.
And
hell, yeah. We were literally, like, screaming our hearts out on that record.
Is it hurt to sing that song after a while?
In the beginning? Like,
you kind of condition yourself to it?
When we were recording it, we were like, I got this! Like, we couldn't. Like, we just drank beer and, like, went into the studio and, like, it was super.
And we also recorded it. Like in our closet at Portobello Road
in London,
the neighbors were like, boom, 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 this is the last warning, stop screaming, the same song over and over again, because we were like, we need to capture that feeling.
Imagine if they would know that it was actually, they were complaining about a song that were number one in the UK.
Yeah, it's so funny when you think about it like that. And we also kept, like, it's like with Manners, we kept the first recordings, because sometimes it's hard to, you know, to re-record a feeling, because even though it's not perfect, it's still a certain feeling that you might capture. But then when you start to remake it, it becomes too perfect and you lose the first feeling you had.
It's a raw feeling, and it's something that I really appreciate, and I know a lot of people really appreciate it on one listen. And is my question is, for this new music, like, how do you, what kind of emotions are you grasping at? What kind of feelings and themes are you thinking about really highlighting in the same way that you kind of capture that pissed off moment in your lives for I Love It?
Well, I think it's all, I mean, it's of course very different depending on which songs you
for
talk
sure.
about.
Yeah.
And I think for this album that we're writing on right now, it's really a journey. It's like going through our diary, you know. It's so many different emotions, so it's hard to say, like, this is what we're aiming for, this is what we're trying to, you know, express. Because I think we write a song with a topic that we care about and something that we feel a need to express. And then when we start singing it, that's where the magic actually happens. And sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes you start singing something with an emotion and then you write the song around that.
Yeah.
You know?
It's always different. And I feel that if I talk about all the topics we've been writing so far, of course, Emergency, that's more a party song. Clap Snap, that's also more of a weird song. But then when you go to First Time, it's more emotional, and we have songs about, like, sexual frustration, you know? Like, we have so much, like, that you need, like, to talk about. Well, we kind of disguise a lot of, like, people might think that it's about something, but then it's about something totally different.
Yeah.
And we had the song called Downtown on our first album, and our moms were like, oh, it's a cute song, and you were like, it's amazing, but let's not listen to when you
You're
kiss
like,
me
yeah,
downtown.
It is a cute song, Mom.
I like it when you kiss me downtown. It's not a cute song, Mom.
But it's kind of like, and also, I think for us,
but we love those.
Do your moms? Did your moms ever find out that?
And
okay.
They still don't know.
All right,
we're
cool.
Sorry,
mom.
But we are very.
They're listening to this podcast.
Open. Yeah, sex is the best thing that ever happened to humans. So.
It's important.
Yeah.
There you go, Iconopop. Thanks again for stopping by. Actually, if we were to go back into the Pop Shop podcast days of yore, Keith, I don't know if you know, but Iconopop was our second guest ever on the Pop Shop podcast. Do you remember who our first guest was? Artist guest, I should say.
No, I don't.
No idea?
No idea.
Damn, I wish you'd say something, man. I feel like I'm giving up on you.
That's a hint, and I still don't know.
It's a pretty big hint. A Great Big World was our first guest ever on the Pop Shop podcast, and then it was Iconopop the week after. Thanks again to Iconopop for stopping by. Keith, are you ready for your chart stat of the week?
Hey, that was a little bit shorter than normal.
That's fine.
Hey.
That's fine.
Did you know? Well, actually, you already know this, Jason, because I've already prepped you. Did you know? Jason.
Did I know? Yeah.
Do you know? Do you know?
I think I do know.
This week, 50 years ago, on August 14th, 1965, Sonny and Cher's I Got You, Babe hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Did you know that, Jason?
I did know that. I did indeed, because you told me before we started taping this.
Yeah. I usually don't tell Jason what the chart stat of the week is, but this time he knew. And you know, what's cool is that not only was it 50 years ago that Sonny and Cher got their first and only number one single on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, but I also actually talked to Cher, you know, one half of Sonny and Cher.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! For a sort of a long, in-depth Q&A about her amazing music career, and specifically her chart career on the Billboard charts. I did the interview like a week or so ago, and we posted it to Billboard.com last Friday. You should definitely check it out. We'll probably link
definitely
to it.
Check it out.
And she talked about the making of I Got You, Babe, and how basically she was woke up in the middle of the night by Sonny and said, come down, you know, come downstairs or come to the living room, you know, sing the song. And she's like, all right, whatever. And she sang it and she's like, okay, I'm going back to bed. Bye. And she didn't think that it was, like, you know, going to turn into what it turned into. And also, she was probably groggy. It was the middle of the night.
Of course.
And what I thought was really interesting from our chat, and we talk a lot about all sorts of stuff, is that she's basically said that she's not necessarily a very good judge of what can be a hit record. She doesn't necessarily hear hits. Like, the first time, she said this before previously, you know, she's the first time she heard the demo version for If I Could Turn Back Time, she didn't like it. They had a really hard time making her number one hit, Believe. It was just not going anywhere until they kind of stumbled onto the vocoder sound that eventually made it so famous.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a really fun interview, and I had a great time talking to her, and I was thrilled that she would take the time to speak to me. So anyways, there you go. 50 years ago this week, I Got You, Babe hit number one, and go check out my interview with Cher.
Yeah, check out Keith's chat with Cher, and thank you again for your chart stat of the week.
I like that. My chat with Cher. My chat with Cher.
Chat with Cher.
Chatting with Cher.
All right, man. This was a particularly goofy Pop Show podcast episode. I dropped the phone. We did some British accents.
Chat with Cher. It's like, you know, we're from Jersey, the Bronx. That's not. That's
it sounds like
really
you're saying
bad
chair
accent.
Instead of share.
Yeah, I'm saying chair. Not even the chair. Now I'm doing Neil Diamond.
Keith, do you have any parting words?
I saw Neil Diamond in concert a few weeks ago at the Hollywood Bowl. Man, is he great.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, have you ever seen Neil Diamond in concert?
No, I have not. I would like to see Neil Diamond.
He's so awesome.
Yeah, that'd be pretty fun. He was at the Billboard
Music Awards. He got like the IR Icon Award, I believe.
Yeah, that was the year I was not there.
Yeah, bummer.
Anyway, Keith, next week on the Pop Show Podcast, before we wrap very quickly, we are going to preview the Billboard Hot 100 Fest with a couple guests who are playing the Billboard Hot 100 Fest.
You don't
very
say.
Excited about that. And yeah, man, let's go out on Believe by Cher. Why not? Keith, thank you as always. Thanks for listening and take care. Do you believe in
life after love? Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.